Friends, just a few short days ago, we ended Christmas. On January 6th, we celebrated Epiphany, and for you Christmas lovers out there, it was the 12th or last day of Christmas. Now that the gift-giving season is over, I'm wondering if any of you had someone that it was just impossible to shop for. I know in our family, we have people like that. Do you know that person who just seems to have everything they need? And if they don't, they go out and buy it for themselves. So the question is, what does the person who has everything need? Well, maybe we can figure that out by the time we leave today. But I want to begin this morning by taking a look at a few fellows who did have everything they needed, the Magi. The Magi were respected men of their day. They were scientists and students who studied and were skilled in philosophy and medicine and theology and astrology and all other kinds of sciences. They had enough wealth that they were able to take a whole year off and travel across the world and buy extravagant gifts to celebrate the birth of a newborn king they didn't even know. They were wise and in good health, and they had a positive outlook on life. What more could they have needed? They had everything: wealth, health, respect, and wisdom. For the most part, they are or were much like many of us in the world today, in this country, in this town, in this congregation. They hold respectable positions of leadership. They have adequate income, beautiful homes, and lovely families, and are, for the most part, they have a positive attitude toward life and are respectable citizens. However, if we are to understand Scripture today, we must understand that even people who have everything have a need. For no matter how many things you have, none of those are enough to provide for a meaningful life. No matter how much a person has to live on, they also need something to live for. And that is what the wise men were seeking. They had everything, but they had no one to dedicate it to, no one to live for, no one to thank, no one to to worship. James Bree wrote a short play called The Will. And the play opens with two newlyweds named Mr. and Mrs. Ross, and they were sitting at a lawyer's office drawing up their wills. And Mr. Ross was so in love with his wife that he just wanted to make it simple and leave everything to her. But Mrs. Ross felt that the money should be shared with Mr. Ross's cousins and charitable organizations. 20 years pass, and the Rosses have done very well, and they become wealthy. So they return to the lawyer and draw up a new will. Mrs. Ross doesn't want Mr. Ross to do anything foolish, like giving his money, their money, away to, excuse me, his undeserving cousins or to charitable organizations. They fight bitterly over their wealth, and both now refer to it as my money. Another 25 years go by, and Mr. Ross is 65. His wife has passed. His children have turned out poorly, and he wants to rewrite his will again. This time, he leaves nothing to his relatives nor his children. And as he's dictating his will to his lawyer, he says, I leave it to... My God, I don't know what to do with it. Finally, he says in anger, here are the names of most of the people that I worked so hard to take money from. He said, just leave it to them with my curses. You see, the Rosses were people who had everything, but they didn't have anything or anyone to give purpose and meaning to it. They had everything. They did not have a God to whom they could dedicate themselves to or their wealth to. They turn bitter, and that's usually what happens to people who have everything but nothing to live for. And so the wise men, they set out on a journey seeking a king they knew nothing about and hope that he might be worth dedicating their lives to. When they saw the star stop over the place where the Christ child was, we are told that they were filled with joy, for their journey was almost over. And they went into the house, and they saw him, and they fell down and worshiped him. These men of great wealth and respect and social status, they literally fell to their knees in the dirt, and they bowed before this child. And then they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Although not uncommon, these gifts were very expensive. The Magi represent the acknowledgement of the Gentile world that the Christ had come, and they appropriately show their gratitude and thanks by offering the wealth of the world. And while these three gifts were very valuable, the wise men offered an even more valuable fourth gift. Whereas the gold would be spent and the frankincense and myrrh used up, the fourth gift would never run out. Of all the gifts, it was the most treasured. It was a gift so valuable that it was priceless. It was the same gift that was offered by the poor, lowly shepherds. And it was the gift of worship. They who had everything asked for nothing, but instead gave. They gave of their gifts. They gave their worship, showing gratitude and giving thanks. And that is what worship is. It's saying thank you to God. Where does the strong get their strength? From God. Where do the wise get their wisdom? From God. Where do the courageous get their courage? From God. Where do strong leaders get that ability? From God. Who is the source and meaning and purpose of life? It is God who revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ. Worship is acknowledging that and saying thank you. Unfortunately, too many people fall into the false idea that the purpose of coming to worship is to get something from God. They go to worship to get socialization, to learn, to feel encouraged, to walk away feeling good. But those are all byproducts of worship. If we come and give, if we give our worship to God, God in his grace blesses us with these other things. But worship comes first, then the blessing. When we come to worship seeking to get rather than to give, we just become prodigal sons and daughters who say, "Give me what is mine." But one of the problems with having a getting attitude is that it often leads to a keeping attitude. That's what the Rosses ended up with. They had everything. And the more they had, the more they wanted to keep. Which goes against the Christian faith, which teaches that we are to be givers. Givers of the gospel, the good news. Givers to those who are in need. Givers to God through worship. There was a wealthy man who was asked by his neighbor to contribute to his charitable organization. And the wealthy man said he had many obligations. For instance, did his neighbor know that his father needed open-heart surgery? Did he know that his mother needed full-time nursing care? No, the neighbor said. He said, "Did you know that my nephew was in a terrible motorcycle accident and needed some reconstructive surgery?" His neighbor said, "No." The man said, "Did you know that my sister needs to be moved cross-country?" The man said, "No." He didn't know about any of those things. And the wealthy man said, "Well, if I'm not giving them a single dime, then why should I give it to you?" There are still Scrooges in the world. Oh, what positive things this man could have done. And the difference he could have made in many people's lives if only he had seen God as the source of all his blessings and had thanked God for them and shared them with those in the same manner that God blessed him. When the Magi offered their valuable gifts, they were affirming that gratitude and thanks are a prominent theme of worship. True worship is found in the giving. The person who has everything doesn't have anything until they gain a thankful heart. People who have everything still need to worship. They need to say thanks. And there are benefits to worshiping, even for those who have everything. But again, they are really just byproducts of true giving worship that says thank you to God without expecting anything in return. But God is gracious and blesses us by giving back to us in the form of knowledge and hope and courage and encouragement and affirmation and wisdom and peace and love. The Magi who had everything, they worshiped Jesus and gave him gifts. And as a result, God, in his grace, gave them an even more valuable gift. God gave them a larger vision of the kingship of Jesus Christ. They came to worship the King of the Jews, but went away knowing that he was also their king. The King of the Jews was also King of the Gentiles. He was King of the world. He was King of the universe. And that's what should happen every week in worship. If we come with an attitude of giving ourselves fully to God, we should also walk away with having a larger vision of who Jesus Christ is. But there's more. For you cannot receive a greater vision of Christ and not be personally affected. The wise men saw the Christ. They worshiped the Christ, and they received a larger, more open vision of who Christ is. Now, we're not told what they said or their conversation, but you cannot help but believe that they were changed by this experience. And part of that is found in that prior to seeing and worshiping the Christ, they seemed agreeable to returning to Herod and giving him the information that he wanted. But after worshiping him and being warned in a dream, they returned by another road, a new road, a change of loyalties, a change of direction, and I believe a change of heart as well. There is a story that has been passed down through the ages that says that when the Apostle Thomas went east to share the gospel, that he found the Magi, and he baptized them and made them priests. It is also believed that they suffered martyrdom for their belief and their faith in Christ, and that their remains were buried in Constantinople, and later in the 12th century were moved to Cologne, Germany. The Magi were seeking a king worthy of dedicating their lives to. And they found him. They found him. And I pray that we will as well. You know, because it is the season of Epiphany, maybe it would be fun for us to return home today by a different road, one we don't usually travel. Just as a reminder that each week we should come to worship as the Magi, people who have everything, with an attitude of giving rather than getting. And then having encountered and worshiped the Christ, we go away changed, ready to walk a different road than what we had been. And if we will do this, then friends, we truly are people who have everything. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you for an opportunity to once again visit this incredible story of the Magi who came from a foreign place, not knowing exactly what they were searching for, but finding exactly what they needed. Lord, often we come to worship and not knowing what we need for that day, not really knowing what we need for the week. We just know we need, and so we come to your presence. I pray today that we have learned, and I pray that we walk away finding what we need. But Lord, may it change us as well. And the road that we take, this different road, may not be that different, but just different enough that it makes us walk a little closer with you, makes us walk a little straighter down the narrow road, that we become more and more like you, not only in our the way we talk, not only in the way that we act, but Lord, the way we love and the way that we forgive one another. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.